right, welcome everybody. This is Tommy B. I am back for another episode of the Biz Meet Global podcast. Today we're going to do a pretty much a short episode. I try to keep it a little shorter this time. Today is Sunday, October 29th of 2023. Got some interesting things to talk about, of course. I don't know if everyone's heard some of the news out there, but talk a little bit about that. And then maybe do a little bit of market research. So, interesting thing, if you've noticed on the news, something actually quite huge. When you think about what this is going to do, it's absolutely massively huge. And I'm talking about Ford and GM and what they've decided to do with their electric vehicles. So we're talking about business and we're talking about the effects on our world. Imagine that. Both GM and Ford, apparently, I'm still wanting to confirm this, but apparently from what I've seen, they both announced that they're going to stop production of new electric vehicles in favor of hydrogen, it looks like. So imagine that. imagine the effects. What's that going to do? So first of all, if you think about it, what about all of the people out there who have electric vehicles right now? You know, of course, I think Ford and GM are going to address, you know, come up with some sort of solution. But I would think a lot of those people are going to, they're going to feel abandoned in some kind of way, you know? I mean, and how can you blame them, right? And not only that, it's just, how are they going to support everything? Are they just going to ask them to trade in their vehicles? Are they just going to, you know, what are they going to offer? Ongoing support? I mean, that's just such a massive, massive undertaking for GM and Ford to just suddenly announce. And I'm really curious, of course. I mean, I think everybody is, to know what's that all about? What is that all about? Why do they do it so suddenly? You know, I mean, or at least to us, it's sudden. You know, maybe they're planning it. Maybe they've already been discussing it in-house, but it was suddenly announced. So that is a very, very, to me, that's the real curious part right there. Is why they just suddenly, you know, threw it out there, you know, suddenly announcing it. And, who knows how long, you know, someone like me is, you know, not going to know how long they've been planning this, you know. But if it's sudden like this, maybe they just wanted to keep it secret for whatever reason, or they suddenly discovered something. And that's what I'm really curious about, is what did they discover? What did they recently discover that has them all so freaked out about the electric vehicle market? Now, of course, if you look, it's nothing new, you know, to realize that the electric vehicle market was not going to save anyone. In the beginning, it looked great. But then, of course, as they reveal more and more real research, they realize, you know, they I think they told all of the general public, or at least released more and more information about how difficult it's going to be to develop electric vehicles, just because of many other factors that don't seem obvious when you first look at it. But once you look at it, you think, okay, that is common sense, like the production of the batteries and the recycling of the batteries. So not only do you have the production of the vehicles, but you have the production of the batteries and the recycling of the batteries. And when it comes to the environment, that it seems to be so bad for the environment, at least the current processes of how to manufacture and how to recycle, you know, those batteries. And when we're talking about recycling, I'm talking about recycling and disposal. You know, think of the chemicals involved, not only in the production, but you know, once they're already made, where are you going to put them? You know, so that's a very important process, and it's not good for the environment. And they know that. So that's very expensive, very difficult. But it's also the transition to electric, especially with how difficult it is for electric vehicles. You know, the batteries, I mean, how difficult it is for people to use them. I mean, when you're used to gasoline and diesel, fueled vehicles, you know, you're used to being able to just fill your tank up so quickly. You know, you get in there. I mean, if you have a huge tank, it takes you a matter of a few minutes and you're out there. And then you've got like several, you know, a few hundred mile range, usually, depending on the vehicle. And then if you run out, well, you just stop off for, you know, we all know how it is. I mean, we take it for granted now, especially here in the United States. You're traveling, for the time it takes for, you know, the rest of the family to run in and use the bathroom. Yeah, you know, you could have the tank filled. And then you just say, hey, hold on a second. I gotta use the bathroom too and run in. You know, I mean, it's so fast. The only thing holding up is depending on how busy the gas station is, right? So this is going to be a real adjustment. And, you know, it would have been with electric vehicles. And, you know, who knows if they're going to just, if that's going to stop just because Ford and GM said they're going to stop. Does it really mean that everybody's going to stop making them? Well, yeah, it might be a pretty good indicator. But then what about Tesla? I've not heard Tesla's response to this yet. So I'll be very interested to hear how they respond, what their plans are. They may have already been working on other alternate fuels. I have not looked into that yet, but that'll obviously be big news as well. Because, you know, look what they've done for the electric vehicle market. Of course, you know, as we know, Elon Musk is working on several different businesses and projects, and it seems like he's about trying to develop what is good, you know, for the economy, bringing, you know, the technologies, you know, bringing them to the forefront and making them more affordable. So I believe he may have also been working on some other alternative fuel engines as well. So I'll be curious to hear. But that's huge news. I mean, think of the economy. I saw one source online talking about how difficult it would be to change over the economy to electric vehicles or to anything, any vehicle. So when you make a change like this, to catch up with it, it takes years, I mean, to do that. So this is not a light, you know, just a quick whim of a decision. There must be something important that made them say, hey, we're stopping production. I mean, and that's a huge thing. You know, you would think maybe they'd ramp it down over a few years or so. But no, they just, for some reason, they're just like, no, we're cutting it off. And then same thing with Ford and GM. What the heck? So sounds like we got some big changes coming up. And who knows, you know, all these big companies like that, especially automotive industry is one of those that's so tied in politically. You never know what they heard, you know, what kind of whispers they heard in their back rooms. And they know what's coming up that we're not going to hear about until it's pretty much too late for us to plan for. So that's what we need to help each other out with, is good information so we can plan. And if you're wanting to start a business, you need to know about this. And so do I. So do we all. It's a better way to forecast. For example, look at the pandemic. If you knew it was coming, if you knew, you know, not that everyone can know when a pandemic is coming, but if you knew how the government was going to react globally, every government, geez, you might have planned your business different, especially if you're someone who was starting a restaurant. I feel really bad for that, people who are starting businesses like restaurants, not similar, but I should say like them, as in they rely on in-person, you know, people gathering, coming to their establishment. You know, whether it's a bar or a restaurant or movie theaters, which were hit so hard, you know, businesses like that where they rely upon people coming in, they need that foot traffic and people coming in and being together, gathering together to make purchases. Shopping malls as well, everything, all retail establishments like that, and many others. You know, concerts and shows. You know, think of all the plays, you know, arts, you know, that were hit so hard. How would they have planned if they knew, or they had an inkling of an idea? Hey, you know, they heard in the back rooms, hey, there's something coming down the road here, and they're about to create a regulation that's going to shut all this stuff down. How might they have planned ahead? And what about small businesses that are not connected? Like, you know, mom and pop shops or restaurants, so they're not politically connected. But if they did know, what would they have done? If they knew there were lockdowns coming, would they have started that brand new restaurant that they were planning to start? Maybe they started it just, you know, like 6 months before the pandemic, and they put their, you know, their most of their life savings into it, you know, and they knew they were going to be successful, but they had no idea that our government was going to act like a third world country and lock it down like that, which as they've proven, as you look at other countries that did lockdowns even more severely, they had it worse. And in the states, like here in where I'm at in Tennessee, they loosened up on lockdowns as much as they possibly could, and the economy came back and you know, was affected, of course, but came back quickly. I know my life experience was such that it was almost like there was no pandemic. You knew it was there just because you saw people wearing masks and you heard people talking about it, but you didn't feel it like some people did in some of the other states who just had more lockdowns. Tennessee had plenty of people who had COVID. I myself got it. And that was, you know, that's another subject, but these are important, you know, so how we plan what's coming down the road. So I say, keep your minds open. If you're planning a business, take a look at this, because the politicians are starting to get, this is what happens when the politicians start to get, or it's a political, you know, these groups start to get too involved in our economy. They start to mess it up, don't they? I mean, look at COVID. COVID didn't do it. It was the government's response to COVID that messed up everyone's businesses. You know, it was their response. It was their response that caused problems by funding hospitals and saying, hey, we're going to pay you for all these people that are declared as they died and are currently sick of COVID, you know, diagnosed with COVID, but we're not going to actually audit, you know, all those you declare, the list that you give us. We're not going to audit them very well because we're just not going to have the money to audit them. You know, wink, wink. As in, so pretty much you can do whatever you want. Just, you know, what's that going to do with any business? Hey, the government's going to give us a bunch of money for each person, and they're not going to verify it. They're basically letting us know they can't. They're too spread too thin. They can't do it. Okay, let's start declaring. So in the meetings in the back, they're going to say, so someone is in administration is going to say, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to have COVID today. A lot of people who may or may not have it are declared as COVID, and we saw that happen. So the way the government handled it in many ways, how they locked down, how they handled reimbursing people for not going to work, it was their meddling in the economy which caused the problem. As we all know, that's common sense. If they had just stayed out and just done the bare minimum necessary, you know, just do their job as and keep us safe, but not in that kind of way that interferes with our rights. That is a tricky question, of course. That's a controversial question. How far can they reach? How far are they allowed to reach? If it's a horrible, horrible, you know, pandemic, then of course, you know, that's they may need to do more. But when I say horrible, I mean, you see images of the Black Plague, you know, drawings that is a historical, you know, depictions and all that. That's what I think most Americans agree on is when you see people dying in the streets, okay, now we all agree, maybe we need to lock the doors, you know, but when everybody's running around and most people are doing fine, the majority of people and only those who get sick every year from it. And then if, you know, a little bit more, it's just a little more severe. They reacted. It was their reaction. Basically they pushed too hard and they really affected the economy. And, of course, there were some other mysterious things that were happening in the world at the time, mysterious things like just these, you know, accidents, if you will, like that giant ship that, you know, carrier that was it jammed up. It turned sideways in the port, tying up all kinds of trade. I mean, that's not. I didn't plan on talking about this in the show, but it just amazes me how coincidentally, that happens, and then there's all of these mysterious fires at food production plants, mysterious fires that just came out of nowhere. And at the same time, they feel like there's a bird flu, and they got to kill all the chickens. The government, you know, in many places, there's millions of chickens. So all the causing food prices to go up, causing fuel prices to go up from all these different actions, causing many people from the lockdowns to lose their businesses. So, you know, the government gets involved like that, and they start overreaching. It's time to smack their little hands and say, you know, get out of our economy. You know, you're basically, you should be not much more than like a larger teacher organization, you know, for a school. It's meant to be the people gathering and administrating. Now, it's a little more serious than that, but sometimes I think they might take themselves too seriously when what they should do is take their positions seriously. So I don't know. This isn't supposed to be a political rant, but hey, I'm a human being, right? So that's why I'm thinking if there's, you know, with what's going on now, and of course we have an election coming up, and look how crazy it was last time, the last election, and now this one coming up, and you know they're planning some kind of shenanigans for this current election, and I'm not going to be excited to see what kind of shenanigans these criminals, not all of them are criminals, but those that are corrupt have in mind just to try to hold on to power. It's going to be really sad. It's like watching a bunch of children and brats who are living in adult bodies and who have adult intelligence, but are just not emotionally developed to the point where they can remember that honor still plays in a very important part in how they act, how they manage, you know, how they do their day-to-day work when they are in a public position, you know, when they are in a publicly elected official, right? So now what's going to happen here? What is going on that's causing these two giant automotive companies to say, we are now just canceling our electric vehicle. I mean, they put so much money into it. And look on the streets, people are beginning to see more and more of the electric charge stations. They're starting to pop up in places. That is not cheap, and that is not easy to do. I mean, how do you get electric cars out there if nobody has a place to charge them? And the people putting up who would want to put up the charge stations would say, why do we want to put charge stations up and invest in that if there are people driving electric cars? So there had to be a lot of funding to try to get that going. And so they're out there now. And now all of a sudden, bam. So this is really going to be interesting. So I'd say if you're starting a business, depending what type of business it is, does it rely on in-person sales? I don't know. But I'd say think about that first and think there's an election coming up as well. Are they going to try to you know, and of course we have the winter time coming up. If there's more strains of COVID that come around that are actually bad, and they need to do something, the government, are they going to just go a little too far as an excuse because there's an election coming up? They're doing things that I would have never suspected they would do before. So that is why I think to myself, I hate that I have to pay attention to it for the business that I'm developing. As you all know, I'm working on building a marketplace, our company is, and we want to build a marketplace that is good, good for buyers and suppliers, and provides good services that are useful alongside, you know, the ability to sell your products and display your products as well online. Even if you don't sell them to the marketplace, you can display them. And so that's why we created trademarketglobal.com. So you can check that out. But also, I love talking about business. That's why I'm developing this business. That's why I traveled overseas quite a bit, because to China a lot. I love meeting new people. I love learning about new industries. I love learning about new opportunities. I love hearing people's stories of how they succeeded and, in doing anything that's so challenging. anything that where they had to go, you know, they're building their dream. It doesn't even have to necessarily be business. It just motivates you, you know, I'd love to hear it. So when it comes to business, because I'm doing that, you know, that's a special fire in me too, as well, you know, to hear about people's stories, you know, how, what did they do? You know, what did they go through? What was it like? I think it's really, really good to hear. And I think it's good for all of us to hear. So if you guys know anybody who has a small business or any business and they'd love to get on the podcast, even though it is a new podcast, please have them contact me. And we'll arrange a time, have them call into the show. I'll let them know to, you know, get a Podbean account and check out our website, the Podbean, you know, our podcast website on Podbean. And they just look up Biz Meet Global, and you can find the actual website at bizmeetglobal.podbean.com. And just contact us, let us know, or when you find the live show, call in. But it'd be great if you contacted ahead of time. We could arrange, you know, a conversation, even though it's supposed to be casual. But that would be great. And we have a different business call in every week or so, you know, when we have a live show. That would be fantastic. So if you know anyone, hey, please let me know and let them know. And we'll go from there. So now, along with that, when I'm talking about how I love looking at different information, I love doing some market research. And I did that, I think, on one of the other podcasts. But I wanted to do a little bit of that here and see if I can pull up this website here. I love this one. They've changed the format of their website, but it's the OEC. Let's see here. If I can pull this up, but we can pull it up, and we can see what some current numbers are. And that's what would be fantastic here, because they had a different format for their link, and of course they changed it. Okay, here we go. Now it's it's for economic complexity, the OEC. Okay, yeah, now they change it, and they're becoming more advanced. The Observatory of Economic Complexity. That's what it is. I love that website. If you want to do research, take a look at that website. It's at oec.world. And, oec.world. Again, that's oec.world. And take a look at that. That is fantastic. Explore in there, and you'll see some of the visualizations. So that you'll see, if you pull it up right now, while you're listening to this, whether you're listening right now while it's live or when it's pre-recorded, check out the way it currently looks right now while I'm recording this, the show. You look on the left side and just down a little bit from the top, midway, not too far, you'll see a little search bar. And just click on the search bar. And that'll bring up, you'll see all the categories. And you're like, wow, look at that. You've got different images you can click on, and in each one for a category, like the world. Do you want to look at statistics from the world? Or, you know, you'll see different ones. Like I'm looking at Guangdong province in China. Or North Rhine, Westphalia. Let's see here. And Catalonia is another one. You've got Central Federal District. Looks like Russia, maybe. Japan and Chiba. Region of Japan, another one. Kanto, if I'm saying it right. Barcelona. I mean, I didn't practice this, so I'm just pulling it up right now while we're talking live. So you can look up different regions. They've got some preloaded here right now. Now, what is really great, just go right to world there on the top left and click on world, and then you'll see it loading up, and it'll load up the visualizations. This is fantastic. So here you go. You got the world, and it will show, and immediately it'll just show some current statistics that they have from trade, which comes from many different sources, but of course, these are legitimate numbers coming from customs, from different governments, and our government. So they're not going to get, you're not going to get the most recent, because they usually want you to pay for that. And it takes time to compile all this data and then make it public. So right now they currently have data for 2021. And I'll mention it again. I did, I think, in another podcast, but they'll look at, they have a couple categories up here at the top, and you'll see one of them says world trade in 2021. So what was the total number of world trade that they were able to track? That is, I like to say that because, you know, there's illegal things that nobody tracks. But of all the products that were tracked through all the customs, departments and all the governments, world trade, so all the info that they were able to compile, it says 21 trillion. 21 trillion in 2021. Here, let me adjust this here. Now, let's see here. Okay, now the top exporter, and they have the top importer for 2021. So the top exporter for 2021 was still China at 3.34 trillion. Okay, for exporting. So remember, world trade was at 21 trillion. That includes everything. So the top exporter, China's, was 3.34 trillion. The top importer, the United States, at 2.73 trillion. And then the most complex economy, which is very interesting, the most complex economy when it comes to trade, and they're probably referring to the, you know, the types of products and how they're interconnected, you know, products related to other products. The most complex economy was Japan, and they had a 2.25. Well, that's a ranking. They don't say trillion, so I'm not sure about that. I'll have to look into that and get back to you on that. But this is really interesting. I like this. Now you have latest trends. Love that. Yeah, you could go to, like, there's a couple of categories below. You could look at latest trends, or you could click on historical data, which includes like local trade, trade patterns, largest export by country, comparative advantage. It's great information. Now, latest trends. How about I just click on that right now? And we'll see what kind of latest trends. But I love how they have this laid out. And the visualizations are so interesting. Let's see if they're going to give this away. Oh, yep. Okay, so they have changed. They have some data, but it looks like this part, you can do a comparison. But they have even the most latest data. So they've become a little more commercialized. They're wanting you to pay for like a pro subscription. And that's for the latest trends. But it looks like you can on the side, look over to the side, and you'll see exports and imports and trade value. It's on exports. Line plot if you want a stacked area. I would say try that. Let's see if they'll do it. Okay, yeah, then I'll look below. So what it does on that part, when you click on that latest data, on the top part, that makes it look like you need to sign up for the pro, but that's probably so you can get more recent data. But look on the left side, you'll see the selections for what you want. Now, you can choose exports or imports, and you can choose trade value or index or growth, you know, a couple other variables. So if I just do trade value, keep it simple. What kind of a view do you want? A line plot, or do you want a stacked area? You know, you got a little stacked boxes, or you want a line plot? It's pre-selected at line plot, so I'll keep it there. Y-axis scale, you can even choose that. Do you want it log, or do you want linear? It's already pre-selected on linear, so we'll just keep it at that. Now, look down. That's what I didn't notice right away. Scroll down on the page, and that's where you see it all. So it, on the very top in the middle, it has the, you know, next to that, right where you're selecting, it has the OEC Pro. You know, it makes it look like you need to sign up to get that data. But don't just you know, you can do that, of course, to get more recent data. But scroll down and you'll see. So what you selected on that left menu is actually below that. So scroll down and then you'll see total trade, exports, and there's some other variables like trade value, and you can add a comparison to it, and it's very nice. So world trade, that shows it again at 21 trillion. The top export in the world was crude petroleum at $951 billion in 2021. See, these are just beautiful visualizations, very educational. If you're a business, you're wanting to look at, you're getting into trade, why not? Why not take a look at it? Because this stuff affects everything. People might say, oh, I've just got a restaurant somewhere. And, you know, but hey, transportation costs are going to change, you know, the cost of food because it has to be delivered. You know, as myself being a truck driver as well, you know, I know. You know, that's the cost of fuel and all that affects all kinds of goods, as we know. So look over here, and on the far further side, you'll see a nice visualization where if you hover over it, it's got multicolors and little blocks, and it breaks down every single product. So and it shows a little percentage, the percentage of the total $21 trillion exports for the world. So let's see. Now, total $21 trillion. Okay, I see they're to a no. So the $21 trillion is still, that's the world trade, not just exports. So out of that $21 trillion for world trade, imports, exports, this graph shows exports value because that's what we chose for exports. And you can see one of the top ones on the top here. You can see product by product category, like integrated circuits, it shows 3.9%. And then you hover over it, and a little box pops up, and it shows you the export value of integrated circuits, $823 billion in the year 2021. So great for something so quick to look at. It's like, hey, what is exporting? You know, what is being exported in the world the most? You know, this is world exports. What is being exported? And you can look and say, wow, there are a lot of integrated circuits being exported. Now, it's only 3.91%, but it is the largest in that category. Now, if you go over to another category, you've got crude petroleum. You know, that's at 4.52%, $951 billion. You go down, there's another section. Now, you have to look at it. For me to describe it, it just doesn't do justice. It's multicolored blocks, and it is really fantastic. And many of them get smaller and smaller, so you have to take the computer or your mouse and just hover over that little block. And so cars, for example, the export value in the year 2021, $723 billion. Okay, and you've got motor vehicles, parts, and accessories. Now, they even have their customs, you know, the codes, which are like 8701 and 8705. So they're specific to those. So if someone's really interested, they're in that market, they know that it's got some info for them, you know. Not super detailed, but you can dig it in other places. But this is great for just surface knowledge. You want to just get an idea. So the export value of the motor vehicles, parts, and accessories was $403 billion. Now you go below, and there's all kinds of different products, like, you know, in a different color. So this one's more of a copper color, which is interesting because it deals with different metals. You'll see a refined copper, $91.7 billion. Iron structures, $60.7 billion. That's structures. Scrap iron, $56.6 billion. Iron faceters, $46.3 billion. And I could go on and on and on. And there's many different categories to select from. Gold exports value was $434 billion. And we have the diamonds, $114 billion. Remember, this is all in 2021. So you can hover over, and there's just so many. It would take the entire show to go over this. I mean, this would be like several shows. So it's a beautiful, beautiful visualization. Going over to other processed fruits and nuts, $20 billion. Hover over to the pink areas, plastic pipes, $32.3 billion. That's exports. So, and that's the world. Now, what if we wanted to change and go, okay, what about imports? Okay, just click on the imports. Give that a second to load up. And ideally, you'd like it to load up quicker. Especially if you've got a live podcast going, right? All right, here we go. It is switching over. Total imports. That was a smooth transition. All right. total imports of integrated circuits. Integrated circuits are still the largest, imports and exports. So that's interesting. Of course, they're being exported. Well, they're being imported at a large value somewhere. So $823 billion. You can hover over and go through all of these different different categories. So I do encourage you to take a look at it. You know, you'll gain a lot of interest, a lot of interesting knowledge with that. Even below, you can see, you can look down and see trade patterns. And that's very interesting. World exports value 2021. You can select a country and you can say world exports value, United States, $1.63 trillion. Okay, so you can select different countries. Now, what you want to do is if you want to check out something more specific, you can, you might have to go to a different evaluation because they have changed this. But they make it even better. Okay, largest export by country. Now, what about growing product? Okay, the top export by country. Let's see here, and it's loading. Let's see if they got 5. Okay, well, that's still loading. I can at least mention the top export. It's a, now they have a map that'll just show the entire world map. Biggest export by country, 2021, and you can kind of use your mouse and gotta be careful because as you're scrolling, it'll actually, if it's hovered over the map, it'll just increase the size of it. So you gotta go over to the side and then scroll if you want to go up and down on the page. Center of the map, and then as you hover over it, wait till it loads up, and when you hover over a country, you'll show Canada. Now you want to know what are the top exports. So if you think, hey, in the United States, what is the top export of the United States? So if you're thinking you want to export something and you want to get into helping to export, what are the top exports? This is how this could be valuable. You hover over the United States, and it says, exports value, crude petroleum. It's under mineral products, but the actual product, crude petroleum, $67.6 billion. Now, if you go to Canada, it says mineral products. Same thing, crude petroleum is their top, and there's this $81.2 billion. So we had export value $67.6. Canada had $81.2 billion. There's this larger, and you could take that same thing and go down, and you see it by the color. Mineral products, it's all the same color. So you look at the other countries and say, wow, look at that. Russia, $113 billion for mineral products and crude petroleum. So Russia, wow. Okay, and then you see the same color. You look down there and you say, hey, what is that's Brazil. Okay, $46.2 billion in mineral products, but their HS4 code, that it was for iron ore. So you look at Australia. Theirs is also iron ore, their top one, $118 billion. So this is very valuable to check that out. And you're curious to say, well, let's take a look at Mexico. Look at that. It's a different color. So why is that? You know, so visually it's easy to see and say, well, what's going on over there? Well, in Mexico, broadcasting equipment, machines. Under section machines and the specific type of machines for broadcasting equipment, their exports value was $10.3 billion in Mexico. You look over and you say, that looks like China's the same color. Well, lo and behold, you hover over it. It says section is machines. And their HS4 is also broadcasting equipment. $231 billion. Now, that's their biggest export in 2021 is broadcasting equipment. Now, there's probably a lot of different equipment that fits in that. So that kind of tells you something. If you can get into that category and you say, well, it's exporting big for a reason, right? So you can look all over. And you look at, look at the Sudan. You know, precious metals is theirs. HS4 is gold, $2.85 billion. So I can go on and on and on. It's fascinating. Let's see, is this one? Yeah, one country here that's blacked out. Yep, and that means they just don't have data for that country. So I only see a few areas there that are blacked out right now. And that's just because, obviously, they don't have the data for it yet. So if you have a comparative advantage, you are looking for that, exports from China to the United States. Pretty interesting. You'll see a nice visualization there. And you can pick the country. So on the side, the first country, China. Second country, United States. And that's what it's preloaded on. And it says right here on the side below, it says, this chart compares trade between both selected countries, considering products traded by both. So to check more in-depth countries comparisons, check the country-to-country profile. Okay, so exports from, now it's got a graph here and it shows export, so as the graph, and you're going, you know, as you're going up on the side, right, you've got that, heading up on the side, you've got exports from United States to China, right? You've got that y-axis, as you could say, but just for, you know, regular speak here, obviously you would just say, hey, the line on the graph, you've got an L-shaped graph. You've got one line going up. Since this is an audio podcast, I can't show, but you got one side going up, you know, the typical, very simple graph, and then you got one going, horizontally, you know, from left to right. So one from, you know, from the bottom going up and, you know, vertically, and the other one going from the starting point, that same corner starting point, heading over from left to right. And so the one that's heading up, they both start at a dollar value. They're at the corner there. And the one going up describes exports from United States to China. So as it goes up, it shows, you know, exports from the U.S. to China. And the bottom graph, the bottom line going horizontally, that one is exports from China to the United States. And you can see now each one, you'll have a different visualization or a different selection. They've got basically like points on the graph. And if you look at the visualization, it looks like somebody took a paintball gun and just shot it, you know, where the paintball hits. It's not a splatter. It's a perfect round circle, but you've got so many different colors, you know, describing all the different categories. You take one and you hover over it, and it's going up on the graph in China, you know, to 1 million China. And it's at about, let's see here, 100. Yeah, that's in the U.S. Okay, here. So, if I can hover over it. Exports value in China. Casein. I guess that's like what they use for protein and making protein, or I believe that is. But I just picked a random color. And it says exports value in China, 66. Okay. All right. Now they have to have, okay, trying to look for the, decode that to make sure what they're saying. Okay, exports value United States is, so you can compare them, 934,000. So I'm thinking they don't have the decoder here to show. Maybe it's hidden on the side. I'm not seeing how they're rating this. But anyways, you can check it out and you can see. But just make sure you look at those values, because it looks like it goes, you know, from one, and it heads all the way up to 10 billion. And on the bottom, going horizontally from left to right, it goes all the way to 50 billion. So I believe that's just in the 100s. But usually they say, you know, multiply that by a certain number. And I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that key over here somewhere. So it's going to be there somewhere, but it takes time. But like I said, I just jumped onto this thing. So there's a chance, you know, one of you is going to find it like right away. Okay. Usually it says like, you know, times 1,000 or something like that. Cause I don't believe it'd be $1. I mean, they would show like 100. That doesn't make sense. But it gives a great comparison. You can see that there's, you know, a difference between the two. So now you can compare, you know, like zinc powder. They got exports value in China, 5.55K. Exports value United States, 13.3M, assuming that's million. So you can see the differences in that. So they got great information, you guys. And that's just one. Now, like I said, I just kind of hopped onto here to show you. There's so much to study, and they have so many visualizations. Now, the economic complexity by country. So if I read read this to you, there's an index, basically. So here's what they say. Hopefully this helps as far as, you know, explaining what is this. What do they mean by economic complexity? It says the Economic Complexity Index, or the ECI, is a measure of an economy's capacity, which can be inferred from data connecting locations to the activities that are present in them. For more info about economic complexity, visit the Economic Complexity page. So they'll probably give more info on what that is. So again, if you think about that, that is the ECI is a measure of an economy's capacity, which can be, so it's a measure of their capacity. Right there, you got it, you know. You know it's a capacity. Now, what do they mean by that? Well, it says, which can be inferred from data connecting locations to activities. So locations to activities that are present in them. So they got so much in these long run-on sentences. You know, you have to think back, what did they say at the beginning of the sentence? So I like to break that down for you. So it makes it easier in an audio. I can't show you visually, so it makes it more difficult to explain it as well. So that's interesting. So it's basically a measure of an economy's capacity, which can be inferred from data connecting locations to activities that are present in the, so what's going on and where it's going on. So the capacities. So that's pretty interesting. So one country may not be trading as much as some others, but it might have a very large ranking in their capacity of what they're able to do. Now, I'm sure it's a percentage of something. So that I'm not an expert on, but that's something I want to look at more and more as I'm learning myself. And I like to look at all of this, whenever I get a chance, whenever I'm doing market research, that is. So there's another visualization right below that. So on the same page, you can go down and you can spend time checking this stuff out. Find one that seems to appeal to you. And it pertains to what you're trying to do. You know, it provides the information that you're seeking based on whatever you're trying to accomplish, your goals, you know, what you're trying to research. And so right here, product space, there's another one. You've got all these different dots. That's how the visualization is set up. And I think you can set up, and you can change the visualization. You can customize it a little bit. So all of these visualizations. So this one, it says the product space is a network connecting products that are likely to be co-exported. So the product space can be used to predict future exports. Since countries are more likely to start exporting products that are related to current exports. So relatedness measures the distance between a product and all of the products it is currently specialized in. So you can think that there are some products that are going to be interrelated, right? I mean, whatever the product is, it's made up of certain components, you know? Or it may be something like, say, think about coffee and coffee filters and then coffee makers. But there may be other things that are also seem to be exported and or imported, you know, traded along with those. So there may be other variables involved. It might not just be like coffee, you know, but the coffee might be related to coffee filters, you know, and coffee beans and coffee grounds, of course, and then coffee makers. And then there's equipment that's related to those. But then what about other things that happen to be sold where coffee makers are sold and coffee sold? You know, they're not as related, but still, you know, there might be other kitchen appliances. I don't know, but that's where you can look into this and say, hey, if there's a lot of one product being exported, it helps to know in these other regions or wherever you're trying to get into as a market, look for something related to your product or something that is purchased, you know, alongside that. And it may mean that your product might, you know, be as valuable in that region, in that area, to say, hey, maybe I want to target this area. So there's another visualization I want to find, and I haven't found it yet again because they changed it. I had it saved before, and when I find it, I'll put it on another podcast. It was potential, trade potential. I think it was export potential. It's out there, and I could probably find it quickly, but to spare you the boredom of while I'm surfing, because it'll be like dead silence while I'm surfing. So, but that's something you could Google that too and look for export potential. And that's a great one to look at. Actually, I think I have found it. But it takes time to load that page up. But you can find that on the export potential map. So if you just Google export potential map, you should go to the ITC. So ITC export potential map. And let's see here. Okay, when you do that, you got, okay, just scroll down below. Okay, that's a beautiful one here. So here's another website I want to give you. So I just clicked over to another tab. Take a look at, and I'll read this off again, but like I said, just Google export potential map. And you should come to something that says the link in your browser should be something like, now here's one word, or two words put together, export potential, and then .intrasen.org. And the intrasen is I-N-T-R-A-C-E-N, and then .org. When you hit it, it's going to, you know, it's going to bring you to, and I'll probably say, you know, slash E-N for English. But if you put that in, it should bring you there. You know, exportpotential.intrasen.org. And click down below, you'll see that export potential. But scroll down and you'll see a couple different choices for, you know, export markets and potential. So, example, what are the best markets for Guatemala's coffee exports? You have one visual, they give you kind of a sample of what here's a potential question that visualization is good for. The other visualization says, what are Morocco's products with highest export potential? So what are the best markets for Guatemala's coffee exports? Okay, so if you happen to be, you know, wanting to export Guatemala's coffee exports, you might want to know, hey, what are the best markets? Now, the other one is, it says, the question asked as an example for the appropriateness of the graph is, or the visualization is, into which products could Nepal diversify and have good chances of export success in the United States of America? So which, so if someone in Nepal, or you wanted to, you know, take Nepal products, and you want to find out which ones would have a good export success or would have good export success in the United States of America, which could Nepal diversify? That's interesting. So if you're wanting to find out about yours, you'll say, what are the best markets for Guatemala's coffee exports? I like that one. You click on that one. That will bring up the visualization, and you'll say four. Now on the side, it'll say four exporter. It was already preset on Guatemala, but you click on it, and you can change that. So maybe you're in the United States, right? Okay, so let's see how they have that set up here. It's either probably United States. Okay, let's see here. I can pick a different. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, you got to kind of play with it, and then you bring it up. Okay, countries, United States. Now, so that's the first one. You select the exporter. Then you select the product. So in product and coffee, they have selected. So you want to click on that. It's a drop-down menu for both, for the country. You know, so you choose the exporter. And then you choose, because you want to find out where's the best markets for the United States to export coffee. Well, I want to choose a different product. So let's say you, what are you wanting to export? That would be great if we had a caller here right now. You could say, hey, check this one out, and I'll find it. So we'll do that in another one. We get enough people watching. I'll go through it and then just say, hey, check this out. But you can do, you can scroll down. It's all the categories. I mean, how about lamb carcasses? That's one of the categories. Sheep cuts, boneless, goat meat, bovine tongues, frozen. So this is, and there's more. There's so much more. You have to keep loading it because there's not enough space for it. So let's see. I'm hoping to get to something other than that. Let's see. Mackerel. Jeez, this is all just food. Now, if you type one in, that's different. But if you just scroll on the thing, so that's one way to do it. You see, if you scroll on it, it's just going to take forever. If you could think of something, how about if I say something like you're a small company here and you make the best fudge. I don't know if they're going to, could there be confections? Okay, they have machinery for confectionery, sugar, confectionery, not containing cocoa. That might not be a good one. Let's see. How about, does it have fudge? No, it does not have fudge. Okay, let's pick a different one. What would be a different one? I'm thinking on the fly here. Didn't plan on doing this, picking up a product for you. But if you could join us live, you could chat in there and say, hey, try this out. Okay, so if you're in the United States and you want to export something good with the United States, you want to find out what are good potential markets. What does the United States have? You know, other countries might be able to produce small things cheaper, but how about we say auto? Oh, yeah. But look at parts. How about appliances? Okay. Spray guns, mechanical appliances for distributing, appliances for cooking. No, let's get something more fun. How about, okay. How about, car parts. It doesn't like that. Does not like that. Okay, so I'm just going to pick one, a quick one. How about air conditioning machines? There we go. We'll just pick that. Air conditioning machines. Not interested in that, but, you know, it'd take forever on this podcast. But you can look at it, and it'll show you where are the best places and the distances. Wow, look at that. So it says Canada, export potential, 34 million. The unrealized actual exports, 53 million. So there's another, okay, unrealized potential remaining. And it has a question mark, so that's not as known, I guess. Mexico, let's see here. Oh, we got to click on it, then bring it up. Oh, then you got to go in depth. Okay. So then it'll give you, so you click on that and it'll give you a much more detailed explanation. Now you want to get back to your, back to the visualization here. Look, Spain export potential for air conditioning machines from the United States, 8.6, export potential is 8.6 million, actual exports, 601,000. Okay, that means we're not really exporting a whole lot. The unrealized potential, it says remaining, is 8 million. So see, there you go. You got a little golden nugget. Now you look at that and just say, wait a minute. There's huge potential here for export potential. Unrealized potential remaining, 8 million. Now they had 8.6. Their export potential, they're calculating is 8.6 million. So the actual exports are only 601,000. From the U.S., so there's a lot more potential. There's still a whole lot of potential they're measuring and forecasting, estimating, that is there. So that's a good place. You might say, hey, if we're developing air conditioning machines, we're looking at the United States and we want to expand. Hey, let's export. Where do we want to export? You look at countries like that and say, well, okay, now that's not the only thing you do. You look at that and say, okay, there's potential there. Let's continue research to see whether it is viable or not. When it comes to regulations and things like that, but there's some potential there and there's more information. You click on that and you go more in depth. So it's a very great, it's a very nice visualization. You look at France, it says potential 21 million, actual exports 2.5 million. So the unrealized potential is 19 million, it says. Now, of course, there's regulations, there might be political reasons, but it's something that gets you started to say, hey, let's take a look and say, what's going on? And you visually, without hovering over them, you see which one are the biggest ones. On this visualization, it shows that France is the largest for export for the unrealized potential, 19 million. France, 8 million. Italy, 9.5 million. Germany, unrealized potential is 4.8 million. And it goes down. Netherlands, 4.4. You can go to other countries too. Mexico, export potential, 1.5 million. Actual exports, 2.9 million. So that's not looking too good. You might say, hey, there's not really that much. It looks like the actual exports are larger than what they would estimate the demand is. The Bahamas, unrealized potential remaining, 23,000. So they're pretty close. You think, okay, that's not huge, you know, unless you're a small little exporter. Cayman Islands, you know, actual exports, 424,000, export potential, 305. So you can see, okay, maybe I'm not looking at it. I got to check those out. And it's easy to visually see because they're a very small dot on the visualization. So you look down there to South Africa, export potential, 352. Actual exports, 134,000. 352,000 versus 134. So unrealized potential remaining, 218,000. So, but you see these larger ones, you say, okay, let's go to the larger ones here. United Arab Emirates, the UAE, right? Export potential, 3.8 million. Actual exports, 2 million. So unrealized potential remaining is 1.7 million. So yeah, it's not huge for, you know, but if you're just a small manufacturer or you're just wanting to increase it, you know, maybe you could look at that and kind of decide, is there a way to get, you know, to export there and some of the other nearby countries, depending on what your situation is. So it looks like the Middle East, you know, Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Iraq, you may not want to do that, Qatar, some of those, they have some decent potential. And then, of course, Mexico. But those that are the biggest, I guess potential, yeah. Those that are the biggest are there in Europe, yeah. So check that out. So I'm not going to go on and on the podcast and bore you. But if you like that, you know, you can jump on those sites. Check it out for yourself. You're doing your business research. Just, you know, I like to look at this. I like to, when I'm planning, and I look at it, future products, things like that. These are fantastic visualizations that'll help you to plan because these are real numbers of what's been going on. And then, of course, if we could keep in mind the political situation of the world, that is obviously a mess, and all the shenanigans they're getting into, messing with this, you know, the natural markets and all that. They're supposed to help regulate, not go too far into it. But keep that in mind. So look at these trends, but then also remember, you know, these trends before didn't know there was a pandemic coming. But I would say to you, if you're interested, check out some of the government statistics on trade and look at the years right before the pandemic and look at right during the pandemic and look at it right after. And notice, you'll get a real story. The news will always tell you what is fantastic, you know, for them to try to sell and get clicks and views and listeners, just like, you know, I'm trying to get listeners, but you know, the big the big media outlets, they're really good at it, and they're gonna sensationalize things. Whereas for me here, I just want to give good information because I would like to attract you to listen and gain listeners. I enjoy talking about this, but I'd also like to attract people to my marketplace, Trade Market Global. So you know my motives. I love talking about this. I love learning from other businesses. So I like to do something that, you know, find something that I enjoy doing, but that could also hopefully help bring awareness to the business that I'm trying to build as well. So with that, I think we're going to bring this one to an end. I am sorry about the last episode was more of a kind of an introduction to the next episode, which is supposed to happen this weekend, but it ended up not happening. And that's just the way it can go sometimes. I got a couple of guests that I want to bring on, guest hosts, and they are both people who own businesses. And they just couldn't make it today, this weekend. You know, that happens with people with a business. They're running, they're very busy, you know. So trying to find a time that could bring them on. And so before it was an introduction. The last episode was an introduction to a mystery guest, and I'll save that for whenever he can jump on. And there's another one another business, and I'm going to bring him on as well, but we'll bring him on separately. So please stay tuned. Check out the, you can always find, I'll always update on the podcast website, the link there. If you want to check that out, you'll see, I'll put right at the top, when the next live episode is. And that, remember, that is at bizmeetglobal.podbean.com. And biz is spelled B-I-Z as in zebra. And then meet, M-E-E-T, and then global, G-L-O-B-A-L. So bizmeetglobal.podbean.com. Check out the schedule. You could, if you're curious, you can take a look and say, okay, here's when the next live episode is going to happen. And then you stay tuned for that. And hopefully we'll be able to get those business owners on as soon as possible. And then we'll be finding more business owners to try to have a discussion with them about their business, about what the challenges they're going through, what the challenges they've been through, the successes, and just a casual conversation that hopefully should be very educational. I know I look forward to learning from them, and I hope that you guys will enjoy it as well. So again, thank you very much for listening right now, those listening now, and all of those that are listening or will be listening in the future when you download it. So from Knoxville, Tennessee, this is Tommy B signing out from the Biz Meet Global Podcast on Sunday night, October 29th, 2023. All right. Thanks, everybody. And you have a great day.